Good evening. I'd like to welcome you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just want to read the last line of the refrain of the hymn we just sang. Join in the battle for truth. It's going to be kind of a part of the theme of my sermon. Join in the battle for truth. I think most of us are here in the Church of Christ because we're in that battle for truth. We've sought the truth in the Word of God. And we found the truth in His Word, and we've been blessed but to have brothers and sisters that also seek the truth of God. I'm going to kind of give us a review, short review of the sermon that was preached this morning, as a reminder to you, but as a reminder to me as well, because as it was being preached, it stood out to me as the key to the sermon that I'm to preach. The topic was wisdom. And wisdom was defined as the skill of living. It was also represented by the Holy Ghost in our lives. It's not a formal learning. It pertains to our souls. It's something acquired. It was given to us when we were baptized. It's not natural. We know that the natural man is an enemy of God, and we are naturally enemies of God. But with that gift of the Holy Ghost, the wisdom of God, we become vessels, instruments in God's hands. We need to work at using wisdom. We need to exercise our faith in God to work at using wisdom. The things that we get from God, like wisdom, do we use it correctly in His will, for His purpose? Wisdom allows us to use the things that He gives us for His purpose. And a good example of wisdom is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Prosperity is a result of using the wisdom of God. Our brother gave an example of a sister who, because of wisdom, has prospered. And if you look up on the screen, this is kind of representative of the choices she made in the past. She would have chosen, and I don't know if you can see that, but there are two different kinds of food there. One are very sweet, very tempting, very bad for you food, types of food. And the other is mostly natural fruit and vegetables, those types of things. And And she chose to stop eating those things that would be bad for her body and start eating those things that would be good for her body. And the result was prosperity, not prosperity that the world thinks of being rich with things that we want, but rich with joy, rich with good health. Well, as our brother said this morning, wisdom pertains to our souls. And so judging between right and wrong spiritually will give us the result of prosperity in life, in that which pertains to the soul. Our brother said this morning, you can take anything and use it correctly, and you will prosper. One thing he said, wisdom takes time. It takes time to consider the choices that we make. It takes time to learn to continually use wisdom, to grow in that skill of living. And to learn wisdom and to live in it, we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that includes feasting on the Word of God, allowing the Holy Ghost to live and move and work in us, allow that Spirit to guide us in our decisions. So I just wanted to give you that review and give me that review because I think it's real important to this subject of judging between right and wrong. Moroni chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. And I want to give you a little background. Moroni, in his last days, years maybe, he thought he had completed the Book of Mormon when he abridged the Book of Ether. But then he felt led to give us some words. He thought specifically these words were for his brethren, the Lamanites, in some future date, because he knew the prophecies and that they would return to a belief in Christ. But the words that he wrote have served for us in the Church of Christ to do things according as Christ taught them. So in the third book of Nephi, Christ tells us, you know the things you must do in the church, for the things which you have seen me do, that shall you do. So Moroni specified rules or how to do certain things. So he taught us who should lay on hands for the Holy Ghost. He taught us who should ordain and how. And he taught us all of these teachings coming from Christ. He taught us how to pray over the sacrament and who should do that, who should serve. He taught us how to baptize and who we should baptize. And then he felt it important enough to write these words, which his father had taught his congregation. So I'm going to begin in verse 1. And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words my father Mormon. And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. And I'll get into a little bit of faith, but won't be reading, unless God tells me to, any of his words on hope and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue, which they had built for the place of worship. And I want to give you a little bit of background. At this point, there was still a believing people among them. He was preaching to people of the church who had built a place for worship. And the reason I want to mention that is because today we actually read this in our Book of Mormon read-through devotional study. We noticed how quickly they went from being a believing people to being a savage people. And I mention that because our brother this morning told us about a decrease in belief in God, in Jesus Christ, in our land. I think you mentioned somewhere in the 40% range. 48%. Not too long ago, that number was in the 80 and 90% range, I think. How quickly this land has gone from a country of believers in Jesus Christ to being a minority of believers in Jesus Christ. And so I say that because what he tells us here, how to judge between right and wrong, becomes of utmost importance. It is so important. Because if you and I individually choose between right and wrong, our example to others will benefit the society. I'll go ahead and go on. Verse 2. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And so he makes this judgment of the people of the church that they are peaceable followers of Christ. And he'll tell us why he makes this judgment next. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. He could see their example. He could see their peace. He could see their choice of good over evil. For I remember the word of God which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. The importance of choosing good over evil, of choosing to feast on God's word, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, to obtain wisdom, to grow that skill of living, to exercise faith in God, and to do good continually. Verse 5, for behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, For if he offereth up a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. And so I want to stop there. We struggled with this scripture today because in our Book of Mormon study, because we know ourselves. We know that sometimes we are not good. And so we struggled with this scripture. And one of the explanations for it, and I really liked it, was that this is a standard. This is a standard we need to look to. But as I reviewed the sermon this morning, I was reminded that we are naturally evil and that we need him. We need him to be good. And so it's by acquiring this wisdom. It's by allowing the gift of the Holy Ghost to function within us that we have any hope of being good. For behold, verse 5 again, God hath said, a man being evil, which we are naturally, cannot do that which is good. And so what do we need to be able to do something which is good? We need wisdom. We need the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, functioning in our life. And so we need the ability to judge between good and evil. For if he offereth, and this is this evil man, if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, when we pray, the ability to even pray to God is a gift. Our brother talked about if we do anything, if we take anything, so let's take prayer, and we use it correctly, we prosper. So how should we pray? The Word of God teaches us to pray to the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and with real intent. Not praying amiss, but praying for the will of God. So if we do all those things as the Word of God teaches us, we will prosper because we've done it in wisdom. We've chosen the good. But if we take that same gift, the gift of prayer, and we don't do it with real intent, but instead we do it to be heard of men. We're praying in a season of prayer, and we're praying beautiful words, so we think, yet not with real intent. Then that prayer profiteth us nothing. Verse 6, for behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil, which we are naturally, giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. And I know in my natural man, when I've done something out of obligation, rather than out of the joy of serving God, I do it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift, wherefore he is counted evil before God. And likewise it is counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart, yea, and it profiteth him nothing. for God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. There's the key, following Christ. We are evil, we are that bitter fountain if we are not following Christ, if we are not living by his wisdom, if we are not growing in that skill of living, if we are not heeding the guidance of the Holy Ghost. But if we follow Christ, if we do live according to that guidance of that gift of the Holy Ghost he's given us, if we do live by the Word of God that we are feasting on every day, if we do grow in that hope and in that skill of living, that trust in God to use us, to guide us when we're faced with opportunities to witness of him during the day, then we cannot be a servant of the devil. I love that. I love that it's one or the other. You know, when we were reading this today, it was like, the thought was, you know, if I'm either a good person or a bad person. This is that choice of wisdom in every moment of our day. We're either choosing him and following Christ and being that good fountain, or we're not, and we're being that bitter fountain. And we're either being used by God and not a servant of the devil, or we're being used by the devil and not a servant of God. Wherefore, verse 10, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is of evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, listen, pay attention, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. It's a warning. Take heed. As we discuss this scripture today, somebody said, I fear to judge that which is evil to be of God. I think that was correct. I fear that. I think that's what, am I right, Daniel? Sorry. And I love, and I'm sorry for pointing you out, but I love that. We should fear that. That's what he's saying here. We should take heed, be aware. We should fear to judge that which is evil to be of God. we should fear anything that we say or do, that it's all right, that it's okay that we're doing it. He's taught us how to judge between good and evil. And so if we go ahead and do something, now that we know that, we're obviously judging that it's to be a God as Christians. So we need to take heed that anything we do or say is really of God. It's God's will. On the other hand, we need to take heed that that which is good and of God, that we don't judge it to be of the devil. We, as Book of Mormon believers, know this well. There are many in this world who don't understand the significance for their soul that is contained in the Book of Mormon, that refuse it and deny it, that judge it to be of the devil, not knowing. But do we do the same? Are there things that we judge to be of the devil that are of God? We need to take heed that we don't do that. Verse 13, "For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore, I shew unto you the way to judge, for everything that inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ." And really, that is what we should focus on. We should be aware of those things that are evil and judge them to be evil. But we should focus our decisions on choosing that which persuades to believe in Christ and is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. We need to choose to do things that strengthen our belief in Christ and strengthen others' belief in Christ. I want to go back to some of the scripture or a couple of verses back. It said that the devil is an enemy of God. That means any time God does something significant in the world, in you, in me, the devil is going to be right there to fight against it, to take that joy and that hope away from us, to cause the work of God that is so plain and clear and joyous to cause it damage in some way. I thought of an example. As God's revealment, I don't know if that's a word, revealing of truth to this world and the Church of Christ and the gospel of Christ when the Book of Mormon came forth. I'm sorry, I'm too far down. Right now, first, in the establishment of the Church of Christ at Jerusalem and at the lands round about in Corinth and in Thessalonica, I think, among the Ephesians, and in some of these churches, very quickly, the devil came, with false doctrine, and swayed people, because he is an enemy. Which makes it all important to choose between good and evil. And another example, in the establishment of the Church of Christ in 1829, 1830s, very soon after, actually on April 6th, 1830, there was a revelation given, giving Joseph Smith to believe in his word as if it come from my own mouth, was the way it was put. Something elevating a man above the arm of flesh. And very soon, because the devil sought to get in there and divide. And so we have to be aware that the devil can use any one of us if we allow him. Because we are naturally we are natural man. We are naturally the enemy of God. And so when we don't use wisdom, when we don't judge between good and evil and follow after good, we can be used by the devil to ruin whatever God has done, to damage the work that God has done. When we follow Christ, the devil will be there to buffet us, to try to keep us from serving God. We need to judge between good and evil and choose the good over the evil. Mormon gave us a way to judge between good and evil. He said, good inviteth and enticeth to do good continually, to love God and to serve God. I think we read a little earlier, to believe in Christ. It strengthens that belief, causes us to want more, to believe more, to feast on his word more, to know truth more. It inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Evil inviteth and enticeth, invites and entices to sin and to do that which is evil continually. Those of us who have allowed ourselves to get involved in addictions know that once you sin, you want more. It's not sufficient. Very quickly, you want more, and then more, and then more. And that's how evil invites and entices to do good continually. Same with good, except the love of God is sufficient, but it still invites and entices to continue to do good. Moroni, continuing in chapter 7, in verse 15, wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God that which is good. I'm going to go back to verse 14. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever that thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ, and deny him, and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge that it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, whether it entices to do good continually or entices to do evil continually, that which entices to do good continually is the light that we may judge by. Which light is the light of Christ? See that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall be judged. Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ. So this to me goes back to exercising wisdom, to growing in that, grow that skill of living. And how do we do that? By feasting on his word, by exercising our faith in Christ when we're faced with decisions and situations where it's difficult to choose to do that which is right. But when we have faith in him, that he will be there, that he will strengthen us in the moment where we feel weak, and we choose to do it anyway, that's how we grow. So it says, wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ. I thought about this earlier today, how I need in my home to get back to having services in our home and searching the Word of God together as a family. How do we know good from evil unless we know what God's word is says? And it's important that we search his word and study it and feast upon it, that we would know the light of Christ. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. I've really been blessed by our Book of Mormon studies on Sunday afternoon, because we read through together the Word of God, and then I get the thoughts of my brothers and sisters and how they've laid hold upon the good word of God, upon whatever concept we've read that day, and how they've applied it in the situations that they're faced with. And that is our, that is the joy of the Word of God. When we lay hold of it, we apply that truth to our life, that wisdom, and we allow it to function in our and guide us in our decision making. And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. And isn't that true, that we can read the word, but if we don't believe it, it doesn't become a part of our life. We don't lay a hold of it, and it doesn't guide us in those decisions we make. But if we believe it, If as we're reading through in Mosiah and we read about the sons of Mosiah, Ammon and Omner and Himni and I think Aaron, and how they say they were the very vilest of sinners, and yet because of the grace of God and his willingness to forgive them and to love them, they then, because of that experience they had with God, they went, they believed what God said, that every soul is precious, and they went to the Lamanites with the goal of saving one soul. And because of that, they were instruments in saving thousands. Not only saving them, but so much so that these anti-Nephi Lehis became examples for the Nephites of faith in God. And when I read that, when I read that the first time, I thought, wow, if God can forgive them when they persecuted his church and they called, I don't know what else they did, but they called themselves the very vilest of sinners, then he can forgive me too. And I can be an instrument in his hands. Because God gave me his word, and I was allowed to feast on it. We read today in Moroni that, and if it's God's will that you read these things, it wasn't exactly that way. I praise God it was his will that I had the opportunity to read his word. That there were men that risked, women that risked their lives before me, because they believed in his word and because of their examples and him giving me the opportunity to believe that I could now live in faith. And I can lay hold on every good thing. And I can be an example for others, even though I was the very vilest of sinners. What a powerful thing that is. And it gives me a desire to want to choose good over evil, to want to feast on his word so that I know what's good, I know what's evil, and that I can choose the good over the evil, and that I can, in such a way, be an example to others. And it hurts to know when you've done evil. And it hurts to know when you've said or done things that could have led somebody astray. But if I do, please tell me. If I do something wrong, if I'm in a bad example for others, please tell me. If I say something that is not in accordance with the word of God, please tell me in love, because my feelings get hurt and then I can't learn from my error. But please tell me. And I hope I can do the same with you. I know I can do the same with you, because you know I love you and I know you love me. And we can choose the good over the evil together. We can choose truth together. I think I'm in verse 21. For behold, God knoweth, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. We have no concept of that. Wow. We have concept of day, minutes, hours, days, and years, but everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. In the Old Testament, that's how he spoke. That's how we knew about good things. He sent angels and he spoke to prophets. And they gave the word of God unto the people. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels and by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing. That's how we can lay hold on every good thing, is by learning from the Word of God, learning from sermons, from prayer services, from testimonies of others, from study classes, learning from just fellowship with our brothers and sisters in their homes, in our homes, learning from the situations God puts us into where he reveals his truth to us. It says, by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. Going back to the example of the sons of Mosiah, they believed. At one point, they didn't believe the word of God. They were raised in the church, but they had an experience where they knew God was real. And from that time forth, they began to seek and to read or to hear, the word of God. They began to hear it and exercise faith in it. And thus by faith, they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith, they become the sons of God. And by faith, we've become the sons and daughters of God. When we were baptized, we were born of him with that gift of the Holy Ghost. We have his word. We have all those examples that have gone before us who've lived by faith. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost to guide us, to remind us of those words of Christ. We have the choice of good and evil. And because of our choices, we affect others. So let's choose the good over the evil. May God bless us in his service, that we don't allow Christ to have made that sacrifice in vain, but that we desire to choose the good over the evil.